This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the No Name Ever podcast. I'm Jamie Smith and joining me today are James, Kevin and Natalie. It's episode 100 of the No Name Ever podcast. There'll be a couple of little special things we'll drop in later in the podcast, but we'll keep them a nice surprise. We are earlier than we said we were going to be. That's due to a scheduling snafu on my part. I'm working when I thought we were going to be recording, so the MK Dons match, we're just going to pretend that's not happening, and we'll be going over the Middlesbrough FA Cup game, as well as the FA Cup draw, which is going to happen as we're recording the podcast, and we'll preview Brentford and Derby instead. So that's the change of plan on the podcast this week. Natalie, you went to Middlesbrough, much better than the league game, and a really uplifting occasion by all accounts.
It was a marvellous day. I still, for the life of me, can't figure out how we won the game, to be honest, because I'm afraid to report that we were kind of outclassed in many parts of the field. First half was particularly poor, but I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to draw on that because obviously Dyche had a few words at half time in his own interview. He admitted that. And the second half was a much better performance. And yeah, we had a real party in the stand. It was great.
James, we talked last week about the possible rotation. I think it was four changes in the end, wasn't it? Andre Gray missed out with an injury rather than being rested, as we suggested. But really positive that we can go to the best team in the league and win without our best player.
Yeah, no, it is really positive to be able to go away from home without Andre Gray and still get a win, particularly against such a strong side as Borough. I think some of the changes were quite surprising, though, particularly for me seeing Boyd back in. And from what I heard on the commentary, it sounded like he didn't really offer a lot again, which is obviously disappointing because you'd think he'd want to take an opportunity like that and grasp it.
Kevin, well, welcome back to the podcast, first of all. We haven't had you back for a while. We were all talking last week on the podcast about how we weren't that bothered about a cup run and the league was the priority, but as soon as you win one game in the cup, everyone starts getting a bit more excited about it.
Yeah, I think in the big picture, the league's still the big priority, particularly as we've been a little bit inconsistent of late. But winning games is always a big boost. I think especially to win not just at such a good team, but win away from home at such a good team, because I think we've been very poor away from home. I think we're kind of I think we're one of the best teams at home if you look at the league tables, but away from home we're very, very mediocre. So it's encouraging to see us get a win at a very good team away from home. It would have been nice if it happened in the league, but hopefully that'll be a big confidence boost to the team and show we can do it on the road and go away and do it again and when we have another future tests away from home. But I think that tells the priorities for me that I'm taking away, not getting through to the next round of the cup, but the boost it might have to our league campaign. So that, I think that's just it all for my priorities, really.
I feel the same. I'd rather have the league points, but a cup run can always be good for confidence and good for the fans. We haven't had one for a little while. Natalie, Henning's got a chance and scored a goal at a really important time as well, right at the end of the first half, and well taken.
Very much so. I was actually really impressed with Henning's on Saturday. I just very quickly go back to what James mentioned just before. Again, it's a bit harsh to dwell on individual players, but Boyd was absolutely abysmal on Saturday. I think it's probably the worst performance I've ever seen him in a Burnley shirt. On the flip side, the other players that came in were really, really good. Hennings especially, I thought, was really great. He kind of carried on where he left off when he came on against Cardiff. He was very positive, created a lot, was running. Running at the defence and I think on another day, you know, he could have scored more than the one they did. Really good performance.
Another individual to pick out as well, a player that we've not really seen this season because of injury, Fredrik Ulvestad, or Brian the Norwegian, as he's being rechristened.
Yeah, my dad had a few senior moments. I took my dad to the game on Saturday, and for some reason he just could not get, and I'm not, you know, fair enough, his surname's foreign sounding sometimes, you know, people can trip up over foreign sounding surnames, but Freddie, it's just really not that difficult. So yeah, he had some real problems and spent the whole day calling him Brian the Norwegian. So that's now what he's known as. He was really good, really good performance, to the extent where people are now debating what our central midfield combination is going to be. I'm not entirely sure that he's going to displace any of the ones. I think he's good cover. I wouldn't drop a fit Marnie for him, potentially Jones, but I think we have now genuinely got four good options in the central midfield.
He offers something a bit different, doesn't he, James Ulvestad? He's a bit more creative than the other three, is that fair to say?
From the limits that I've seen him, yeah, and you know, I think people were particularly excited when he came on in the midfield late last season. Though I think people did get a little bit carried away. I think he played for about 5 minutes at the end of the game, and everyone was on Twitter saying he was absolutely fantastic and they can't wait to see what he can do in the Championship. And then obviously, unfortunately, it was not to be when he got injured in pre-season. But obviously, it's good to have someone you know is capable. We've now seen what he can do. And obviously, it's a big positive knowing that if there is injuries in the midfield, we've got someone who can step in.
I suppose that a manager who was more keen on rotation might be able to make more of the options we've got, but you sense Dash is going to find his strongest two and go with those. Kevin, we've talked about the midfield quite a lot on the podcast recently, but you've not been joining us. What are your thoughts as to what the strongest pair of the options available? There's Marnie and Jones, who, of course, were the pair a couple of years ago when we got promoted, and Barton and Ulvestad are the newcomers to the group.
Yeah, I agree with what you said just a moment ago. It's a bit of a shame that Dyche isn't so much of a rotator. In fact, that we have got, well, it looks like, four very strong central midfielders, and it's a shame that there's only the two of us essentially going to be on the bench for most of the season. I'd like to see Marnie and Barton have an extended run together. I'm a big fan of Jones, but I think Marnie gives us that a little bit of something different. And I think we've always suffered a lot more when Marnie's been out of the team than we have when Jones has been out of the team. And it'd be interesting to see how a dynamic between Marnie and Barton would work in a long term partnership. I'd be looking forward to see how that could develop. I'm not really sure where Jones fits in with that, because I don't think Jones is the type of player who you're going to bring on to change the game, particularly when Marnie and Barton are similar-ish to him. But it's fantastic to have a very different option in the middle in Freddie, because again, it's something where Dyche has not really had the options that often to change things from the bench, and particularly in the middle of the field. If things aren't going right, then traditionally it's been tough luck. So it's good to have that extra option. Hopefully, if we can have Marnie and Barton in the middle, and then if we need that bit of creativity, if we're struggling to create chances, then we can bring Fred in and just give that very different dynamic to the midfield. That's what I'd like to see.
Natalie, you've touched on that the first half performance wasn't the best, but the match winner was Stephen Ward with a well-taken goal. A volley, actually.
Oh, no, not Jamie. Don't go on about Stephen Ward. As soon as I saw that goal win, I thought Jamie's going to be a nightmare on the podcast.
It was a good job I was at work and quite busy when it happened, otherwise I'd have been quite unbearable on Twitter, I think. But Natalie, the fullbacks had a difficult time in the first half, didn't they?
For sure, yeah. It was a really, really, really tough first half. We were sat there for about 40 minutes just wondering why in the world, similar to you actually, Jamie, when you went up there in the league, wondering why the heck we'd gone all the way up to Middlesbrough to watch us get absolutely outclassed. It was a better second half performance. It really was. You know, obviously, whatever Dyche said to them at half time clearly worked. And I think we've touched on this on the podcast before. I think you and I had both said that we got a little bit frustrated with Dyche, who refused to come out and say, you know, that was a really poor performance and it's not good enough. You know, he's very positive and all of his, you know, his high management talks. He did this time. He came out and said, you know, it wasn't good enough. I had words and it worked. And I was really pleased to see that, really pleased. And it, obviously, it got us the win in the end.
It's not like Dash to say that, is it, James? He's not normally one to reveal what he says to his players, but I thought it was quite refreshing that he understood that the first half performance wasn't close to being up to the required level.
Yeah, no, he's not normally one to, you know, reveal what he said. In fact, obviously, I think most managers these days don't really reveal anything, do they? So it was interesting to, you know, to see that he'd revealed, you know, that he had to give the players some tough words at half time. But obviously, if he can go out and do that and the players come out the way they did in the second half and get the result, then hopefully it's something he does quite often.
Okay, well, the draw for the fourth round has been made on the One Show on BBC, bizarrely, and Burnley will face a trip to Arsenal. Kevin, immediate reaction to that, I suppose. It's a nice big game and we'll get some money out of it, but a club that we've played a few times recently, so maybe not as exciting as it could have been.
Potentially, but I'm not sure how many really exciting games there could be, really, because I think we've played quite a few of the big teams. Obviously, we played all the big teams in the league last year. I think that's a decent draw, really. I think it's better than many of the draws we can get, really, because I think, like we were saying earlier, I think it's nice to have that morale boost in the cup and have a bit of excitement. But we don't want it to take away from the league too much, and perhaps a nice away day at Arsenal, we can put in a good performance, hopefully push them quite strongly, and get some confidence out of that. And yeah, chances are we'll get knocked out, but if we can put a good performance in, hopefully that can still give us that confidence boost, but then we can go on and focus on the league. So it's much better than some of the lower league teams or kind of bottom Premier League clubs we could have had, I think. So yeah, I'm not too disappointed with that.
Looking at some of the other ties, I don't think it's got much chance of being selected for TV. So hopefully ticket price will be reasonable and Burnley fans will be able to go down and have a really good day out at least. James, you'd rather have a home draw, surely?
Put me on the spot, because I live a lot closer to London than I do Turf Moor.
Generally speaking, though, home draw in the Cup's normally better. More chance of winning it if you're at home, for starters.
Oh, I guess so, but, you know, at the same time, can be nice to go to a big team's place and do them over in the Cup. Obviously, it's not quite as nice as it used to be for us, because now we've been in the Premier League a couple of times and we've played at these places in, you know, normal season games. So I think when we were looking up, aspiring to be in the Premier League and hadn't been there, it was a bigger deal, I think, to get the bigger sides, obviously bring them to the Turf. And I think you get, obviously, the big attendance, as I remember, you know, quite a few years ago now, getting Manchester United a couple of times in the Cup, and the Turf was absolutely packed, and normally you'd see maybe 12,000 on. So I think in the past, definitely, obviously, home draws were a massive draw and they were a real big atmosphere boost. But now we've played a few of these teams in the league, they just don't seem to quite have the, you know, the attraction they did.
Also, the Emirates has got comfy seats.
It does have very comfy seats. I went for the Cup game. Was it the promotion season under Kyle, and I was a bit annoyed that we stood up for the whole game, because if you're paying that sort of money for a comfy seat, I wanted to sit down. Natalie, what's your initial reaction to Arsenal away? Arsenal, of course, won the FA Cup 2 years running, bidding to become the first team in over 100 years, I think, to win it 3 years in a row.
I'm very excited by that draw. I'm a fan of Arsenal anyway. I do like the side. I like the club. I do like watching them, and I think they are a really great side to watch this season. I also went to that game away at the Emirates and was also extremely annoyed that we had to stand up when they have the comfiest seats in the whole world. So yeah, I think it's a good draw. It's a good fun draw. It's exciting. We'd have preferred it probably at turf, but the Emirates is a nice ground, and we'll have a nice away day to London, and we'll just have to beat them there instead.
I'm sure a lot of people just spat out their tea when you said you're a fan of Arsenal. Do you just want to clarify that comment?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I will just clarify. You see, I'm a little bit torn today because for those who are not in the middle of this podcast, I've been bidding on a signed André Gray shirt in the background, and it's knocked me off, hence why I'm a bit all over the place today. I am not an Arsenal fan. I am a fan of watching them play. That doesn't make it any clearer. No,
so. I think the word you're looking for is admirer.
Thank you, James. I am an admirer of Arsenal. I like watching them when I'm not watching Burnley.
That'll do. Right, so the next part of the podcast this week, as I mentioned at the start of the podcast, it's episode 100. So we decided to bring back the quiz for one special occasion. I know a lot of people out there miss the quiz, so we're bringing it back. If you don't like the quiz, then skip the next 5 minutes or so and everyone's a winner. So we used to do the quiz when the podcast was live. Obviously, it's not live anymore. It's recorded and edited. So how we're going to do it is I've got three questions and a couple of tie breaks in case it's a draw. If you know the answer, shout out your name. This is for the guests, not if you're listening to the podcast. If you're on the tube or on the bus, don't shout out your name, otherwise you know you'll come at mental. But yeah, shout out your name if you know the answer, and I'll come to you and I'll be the judge. So is everyone ready? Everyone clear on the rules?
I'm not 100% clear what we're doing. Shouting my name out.
Shout your name out if you know the answer, and then I'll come to you.
Excellent. Okay, cool.
Right, so obviously, make sure you're unmuted, otherwise I won't be able to hear you. Hopefully this is going to work. Right, so the first question. The first ever episode of the No Name Ever podcast went live in August 2013. So that's 2.5 years ago now. Burnley drew 1-1 with Bolton on the opening day of the season. That's what the first podcast was about. But who scored Burnley's goal that day?
James. Like I've overcommitted now. I've overcommitted.
Oh, he doesn't know the answer.
The problem is we played Bolton at the beginning of the season far, far too often.
Yes.
So I've immediately thought about a Bolton game.
You're gonna have to guess.
I'm about 3 years too early.
Playing for time, just guess.
In your honour, I'm gonna say Junior Stanislas.
It was not Junior Stanislas. Anyone else want to buzz in?
What was the year? 2013,
so 2.5 years ago. It was a 1-1 draw.
I'm going to guess. No, I'm not. I'm not going to guess. Shackle?
Nope. Kevin, then you get the last go.
A shocking guess.
I don't know. Wallace?
No. Right, you're all going to get one more guess, and I've given you a clue. So it's the first day of the opening season, the season we got promoted under Daesh, August 2013, Ings. It was 1-1.
Kevin Ings.
Ings is sort of correct. You can have the point, but it was actually a David Wheater own goal. It went down as an own goal eventually. Thank God for that. Somebody got it right.
How's that supposed to get that? That's a ridiculous question.
It wasn't that. I was going to give you the point for Danny Ings, and no one guessed Danny Ings, even though he scored like all of our goals that season.
Well, do you know why I was like, oh, I know the answer? Because I immediately thought back to the first time we played Bolton at home when Owen Coyle came, and I was like, wait. And then I remembered you said 2013, and I was like, it's a problem.
Right, well, hopefully.
If anyone guessed maybe Wheater, they should have actually won like a season ticket or something, because.
Well, there's no prizes, so don't promise anything. There's no prizes for the quizzes.
There's a lot of shame at risk here as well, I would like to point out.
I'm looking at the other questions. I think the other questions are easy. That's 1-0 to Kevin. So the question two is coming up. Which player did I once, here on the No Name Ever podcast, weirdly hail the attractiveness of?
James.
It was Brian Stock. I thought you'd get that one right because you were also a massive fan of Brian Stock.
Not of his looks, of his football ability.
Solely his football ability. So that's 1 point for Kevin, 1 point for James. Natalie, you are lagging behind, way behind. You're embarrassing yourself.
I know.
The final question, then question three. So if Natalie gets this right, it's going to be a very tie-break scenario. Otherwise,
I'm feeling the pressure.
James or Kevin is going to be the winner. Question three, the final question. Who was the winner of the No Net Ever Burnley Express Player of the Season Award for 2013-14? So the same season.
Kevin.
Yeah. Ooh.
Kevin.
Was it
you organised this?
It was Jason Shackle. Kevin wins the quiz.
No!
I was really hoping Kevin had known the answer to that one, because didn't Kevin actually organise the man in the
He was involved in the organisation.
I'd like to thank my mum. I'd like to thank my dad for introducing me to Burnley. I'd like to thank Jason Shackle for being...
Jason Shackle's probably not listening.
A good footballer before he turned into a d***. I'd like to thank...
Cuts! Where's the orchestra?
I'm going to blame my agent for my incompetence.
Well, I've got tiebreak questions ready, so we might as well do those, but we're playing for fun now. Kevin's already won.
I paid him off, so...
Oh, really? I was just about to say my name when you said it, and I was like, no, he's got it!
I just want to give Natalie a chance to get a point, because I just feel bad for a terrible performance on the quiz.
So these questions are their mission, not get Natalie a point.
No, stop it!
Right, so the first tiebreak question. I think this is quite a tough one. I'll be impressed if Natalie gets this. I don't think she used to be on the podcast when this was a thing. What's the name of the band that used to soundtrack the podcast?
James. I know half of it now, but I've forgotten. Was it Ring Ring Rouge?
Yes, Ring Ring Rouge is the answer. It was an editorial decision by Adam to not have that music on the podcast anymore.
I was split between whether it was Red Rouge. Or
when I was looking it up, I thought it was Ring Red Rouge, but it was Ring Ring Rouge.
Got it right.
So the final question, the final tiebreak, final chance for Natalie to get a point. What was the name of the No Name Ever Derby Day film?
Oh, man.
I can't believe Kevin hasn't got this. Kevin made the film with me.
Oh, I can see it.
I've got this. I'm just pretending not to, for Natalie's sake.
No, this is so bad. I can see
Thomas
it.
Thomas Pickles wrote and read
did.
Out the poem.
And I'm going to cry because I can't remember it. And I can see it. It's right in front of my eyes. No! I'm such
a fan. Kevin, put Natalie out of the misery.
It's We Are These People.
It was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew that as well.
I've got no more questions already. So Kevin wins the quiz. Natalie definitely loses the quiz.
I'd like to apologise to my mum for being a fan.
So yeah, that was the comeback for the quiz on the Nolan Ever podcast. It won't be a regular thing because I'm really bad at writing questions, as you've just learned over the last few minutes of the podcast. Moving on then, we're going to look ahead to the next couple of games coming up before the next podcast. Brentford away on Friday night in front of the Sky cameras. A little subplot, of course. Not just the fact that Andre Gray will be returning to his old club, but our reported interest in James Tarkowski. Doesn't seem to have been much movement on that since we were last on the podcast, where it seemed like we'd had a bid turned down. Tarkowski is reportedly interested in a move, so it's just a case of sorting out a fee, probably. Natalie, Brentford away, it's quite a tricky game, but one that you'd probably back us to do reasonably well in, especially when Gray will be out to impress in front of his old club.
Yeah, for sure. I think we did touch on this last week, I think, didn't we? And we said that we expect it to be quite a comfortable win. Saying that, you know, this team has been throwing up a few surprises, both positive and negative this season. So I think they'll be high in confidence after a really good win away at Middlesbrough, albeit in the cup. And that's the first time that we've beaten anybody in the current top eight of the Championship this season. So it just proves that they have got it in them. I think if they'd have had a second half as bad as the first half, and I'd be a little bit more worried. But yeah, I'm expecting a comfortable win.
Tarkowski transfer has a potential to maybe overshadow the game, James, especially if it's still hanging on. Would you expect him to play if there's still all these stories about him potentially moving to Burnley?
I guess that depends entirely on how much there is in the stories, you know, whether they actually are accurate and we are taking as much interest as we're led to believe. But I think it's pretty unusual, isn't it, for teams to not play someone unless it's almost certain to go through. So I'd say if he doesn't play, then expect a picture of him holding a Burnley scarf on Monday morning.
Certainly one to keep an eye on the future of James Tarkowski, potential new signing. Kevin, Andre Gray's away form, we've talked about on the podcast before, he's only scored one goal away from home for Burnley. I suppose a return to Griffin Park would be an ideal chance to start putting that record right.
It would, yeah. It's a slight concern, because I think it'd be interesting to think about whether our away form is poor because he doesn't score, or he doesn't score because our away form is poor. It's interesting to think which it's like the chicken and egg, really, I suppose, isn't it? But yeah, if we are to pick up that away form, which we really need to do if we're going to win promotion, then this, like I say, this is an ideal opportunity to do it. A game with a little bit extra bite for him, a little bit extra motivation. It's not just a business as usual game, and hopefully he can bag one or two, and that can really set his form away from Turf Moor alight. It's incredible, really, how many goals he's scored, considering how poor he's been away from home in front of goal. And you've got to think, if he can start scoring goals away from home like he's doing at the Turf, then we're in for a fantastic season. You've got to guess. Hopefully, those lack of goals aren't playing on his mind too much. And if he can get a goal here, then yeah, that could be the start of things to come. Hopefully.
We are assuming that Gray will be back in the team, of course. Hennings scored a goal to potentially put a bit of pressure on. He's got that broken finger that kept him out of the trip to Middlesbrough. But it'd still be a shock if Gray didn't go straight back into the side, wouldn't it, James?
No, definitely a shock. It could actually be that, considering how Hennings played, maybe it's Hennings and Gray that we get to see on Friday. I mean, that would probably be the best, what's the word, compromise of obviously getting your top scorer back in and rewarding someone for a good performance away from home.
Obviously, I think Hennings has been growing into going into the side, I think, a little bit more in the last few months. I think he's taken quite a while to settle, which is probably understandable, coming to a new country and a whole new style of play, really. But I think the more he's in his limited appearances, I think he has been showing a few more nice touches all the time. It'd be nice to see him get a bit of a run. I think he's, like you say, he got the goal a couple of weeks ago. Now he's got another goal here. And it wasn't the prettiest finish, but I think it was nice, kind of Porch's finish, really. And I think Vaux has got quite a few assists lately, but if he's not getting the goals, which we'd like him to. So, yeah, I agree with James. I'd be quite happy to see Hennings get in there and see if now he's starting to settle in a little more, if he can add more goals to the game than Vaux is doing, particularly away from home, as we've got essentially two strikers on the road who just aren't scoring.
I saw someone today actually suggest that Hennings and Vaux should continue, that you don't change a winning team, I think. If you pay £6 million for a striker and he's the top scorer in the league and then you start leaving him out, I think that's a bit ludicrous. To round off the podcast this week, then, we're going to have a best bits package from the 100 episodes of the No Name Ever podcast. That will round off the show this week, but as ever, we'll leave you with some predictions. Kevin, we'll start with you then. We did predictions for MK Dons on the podcast last week. So Brentford away, Friday night in front of the Sky cameras. Expecting Burnley to go to West London and get a win?
2-1, Andre Gray.
It's a fairly safe prediction. James, are you back on the Andre Gray hat-trick bet bandwagon?
Oh, yeah. Andre Gray, he hasn't. We talk about him not scoring enough at home. This is practically a home game, just a previous home.
That's very good logic. You can't argue with that logic.
Andre Gray hat-trick, Burnley 3-0.
And Natalie, are you sticking with the old, the negative, what were you calling it? Negative Natalie. What were you calling it? The deliberate jinx there. I can't remember what you were calling it.
Oh, it's the reverse psychology.
Reverse psychology.
Hey, you say that, it's been working. I did it again against Middlesbrough. I just tweeted.
No one predicted we were going to win at Borough Diver, so.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously. So, yeah, I'm going to go, we should stick to it. It's proved to be one of the most effective strategies that we've employed this season is my reverse psychology. So I'm going to say we're going to lose 3-2.
Thanks for listening to the podcast this week. Thanks to Kevin, James and Natalie for joining us. As I said, it's been 100 episodes, so a big thank you as well to everyone who's listened and everyone who's joined on the podcast, everyone who joined in when we were recording it live as well. If we didn't get any positive feedback or anyone saying that they enjoyed it, we basically wouldn't do it. So thanks to everyone who's been in touch over the last 2.5 years, and here's to another 100 episodes of the No Name Ever podcast, maybe. But as mentioned, we are going to round off with some of the best bits. No doubt, if you've listened to the podcast regularly, some of these will be familiar. Some of the times we've messed up and some of the times when ridiculous things have happened on the podcast. So enjoy this, and we'll be back next week. Goodbye. So we are going to take this opportunity to bring you edited snippets from our chat with Burnley's Chief Executive Lee Hughes and Chief Operating Officer David Baldwin. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get a lot more detail on what exactly went wrong, but we did get some insight on how transfers work at Turf Moor, who's responsible for what. So here's what Lee and David had to say about transfers.
Process-wise, how it works is manager says, I'm looking for this position. Recruitment department says, you know, here are the players we have on the radar screen. So you go out and say, like him, don't like him, like him, like him, don't like him. Not me. I don't say that. The manager says, like him, yeah. Oh, let's try and get these guys in. And then we try and get a deal over the line. Now, the problem is, it takes three people to make a deal happen. Us, the selling club, and the player. So three different deals have to come to light.
Clark Carlisle is with us. Good evening, Clark.
Good evening. The flip side to that was that the training regime was one of the most unprofessional I've ever worked in.
Why, really?
Oh, yeah. All we did was skills games and crossing and shooting, where if you didn't put it on a plate for Owen so that he could score, then you got telling off. And we used to play these games for cans of pop and do crossing and shooting for cakes. And whoever lost had to bring a tray of cakes in and a crate of pop the day before the next game. So we got promoted on Monday and Friday, eating Krispy Kremes and drinking Iron Brew.
Do you think Burnley are the finished article?
Long season. Take each game as it comes.
Thanks, Sean. Back to you, Jeff.
Wow. I'm glad we could play that because...
I'm dying.
Extremely, extremely funny. Yeah. He does sound quite like the Cookie Monster. I think that just adds to it.
Snaff, end of. Thanks for that excellent analysis of Brian Stock. Just one of the points I want to make about Brian Stock, going back to something Gemma said earlier that we didn't mention. She said about Sam Volks, he's going to be the eye candy for the girls this season. That's an interesting point. I don't think he's that good looking personally, but maybe... others will disagree. Feel free to throw in your best looking Burnley players, but I would have Brian Stock up there. I think he's a very good looking man.
Play rubbish and still win. Our luck was going to run out at some point, and it has to.
We will get you to your destination tonight.
Hi, Kev.
Hello, I'm back.
Really?
your train announcement, which was quite comical.
With, and this is speaking as dispassionately as possible.
I think James Bird's on a paraglider at the moment. James Bird's adventures.
I'm on a bike.
Podcasting from a bike. Brilliant. Back to you, Bud.
Oh man, tornado's coming now, lads. Oh no, this isn't good.
I think we might have to wrap up because
I think James might have to get off.
I think James is causing your tornado.
Do you know what? I don't know whether I can mute Skype from my headset or not, but I'm just going down a big hill, so it'll get a lot quieter in a minute.
I'm sure, James.
This is ridiculous.
I'm on the flat at the moment, just so you know. <And that's> That is someone's dog.
Oh my god. Oh, James Bird getting fucked up by a dog on the Non and Ever podcast. Oh, I've heard it all now.
I think I just lost a cat behind me as well. My cat just fell off a cupboard.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.